In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
I was fortunate enough to have these things when I found out I was pregnant years ago. I wanted a family, but it was the wrong time. I made the decision that was best for me, to have an abortion and get compassionate care at a clinic in my own community. Now, years later, my husband and I are parents to two incredible children. You see, it's not as simple as bad girls get abortions and good girls have families. We are the same women at different times in our lives, each making decisions that are best for us.
That's the president of NARAL Pro-Choice America speaking recently at the Democratic National Convention, a prominent place on the speaker's roster. And, well, I don't think it's the first time that the Democratic National Committee and its convention went gaga over abortion, but it was the first time I think abortion was ever cheered when it was mentioned from the dais. That's a first. And for some Democrats, it was a last straw. We're going to be talking about one man's exodus from the Democratic Party. Dr. Timothy O'Malley of Notre Dame University will be our guest here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in on this Monday, August the 1st. We're going to begin a new series after that, a five-part weekly series on Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about the characteristics of Pop American Christianity and its view of Scripture with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He has written the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August called Has American Christianity Failed? We'll talk with him and begin that series with him in about 20 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Dr. Timothy O'Malley is director of the Notre Dame Center for Liturgy, and he's author of a recent column, The Week I Left the Democratic Party. Dr. O'Malley, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, it's lovely to be here.
Why were you, until very recently, a Democrat?
Well, there's lots of reasons. My family's all from the East Coast. We grew up in the kind of Catholic world in which sort of the Democratic Party had been really important to the life of my grandfather and his grandfather. And, on the East Coast, even in sort of the earliest days of the Democratic Party, it remains a kind of pro-life party, as I like to remind people who say otherwise. And then not to mention, you know, my own sort of experience in growing up as a kind of low-income kid in East Tennessee, it was very clear to me that you only have to listen to the politics or debates so often and hear something like, well, we don't need welfare queens and we don't need those on welfare. And it became very clear to me that, at least at the time when I was growing up, that the other party, the Republican Party, was not much of interest to a low-income Tennessee kid who was, in fact, relying at the time on government aid.
So what was the moment, and you describe it in your recent column, almost literally the moment that you left the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I was listening to last week's speech by the NARAL president, who at the time, you know, of course, I'm well aware and have always been well aware of some of the ways the Democratic Party is tied to pro-choice politicians. And I've also been well aware of the increasing presence and even sort of leadership within the party of pro-choice organizations in a way that pro-life organizations within the party don't get the same treatment. But to hear a convention floor cheer an abortion is a very different thing than the Democratic Party I grew up in which abortion was deemed to be required to be safe, legal, and rare. I'm not saying that I was for that, but it's a moment, a visceral moment to hear cheering, a kind of carnival-esque cheering of what I see as death. And, as a father of an adopted son who survived precisely because someone gave him up for adoption, to hear not the word adoption mentioned, to hear nothing of this other sort of narrative was just too much. I can't remain part of the mainstream Democratic Party when I listen to the cheering of death.
And it's not as though, and you mentioned this before, it's not as though the Democratic Party doesn't have a legacy of a small but rather strong pro-life wing.
Yeah, and it makes no sense to me. As I like to remind people, a third of Democrats remain pro-life across the board. In fact, at a sheer sort of political calculation, and not one I would encourage, but at a sheer political calculation, if the Democratic Party actually made space for its pro-life membership, then in fact they would win elections, not lose them. And Senator Ted Kennedy was himself once pro-life. The party itself didn't really sort of swing entirely pro-choice until the late 80s and the early 90s, which is really the moment you had a kind of intentional, almost sort of elimination of pro-life Democrats from the party. And it's gotten even worse since 2010. 88% of the seats of pro-life Democrats have been lost since 2010 because of this refusal to make the tent large enough to include pro-life Democrats.
I marvel at that. I've spoken with Kristen Day of Democrats for Life recently and for years now. And she's often pointed out that the hardline pro-abortion stance that continues to harden in the Democratic Party nationally is costing them, just as you said. That doesn't make any sense to me. It's not even in terms of politics as pragmatism very reasonable.
No, it is entirely unreasonable. Not to mention that most Americans today have grown increasingly open to being pro-life in ways that even, you know, 20 years ago they weren't, because of the increasing quality of ultrasounds, because of almost the celebrity celebration of the baby bump. I mean, we're at a stage where it's no longer sort of tenable to say that there isn't a sort of reasonable position for being pro-life. And, you know, I say this, you know, I'm a Catholic theologian, but it's for reason that I'm pro-life. Revelation certainly tells me that as well. But I think sort of within Catholicism and within sort of varieties of mainline Protestantism, reason can actually tell you that there's good, solid, political, social, biological, scientific reasons to be pro-life.
Something about the NARAL president's speech at the Democratic National Convention stuck with you. You write about her characterizing her reason for having an abortion as the child came along at the wrong time, or it just wasn't the right time. Did that strike you as particularly either cavalier or arbitrary?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, of course, you know, I would be foolhardy to say that, you know, over the last 40 years, 50 years, that abortions haven't been had for those sort of reasons. But I think that that's well aware. I think that, at least from my end, I don't know her story. And so I risk sort of judging her own sort of statement about this. I mean, I don't know why she chose to have an abortion. I mean, I only know what she sort of said in public, which I did think was cavalier. But actually, you know, it's the cheering of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people at this statement that seems to me so cavalier, that there's not a space within our community of those children who maybe there are a variety of children who are had at quote unquote the wrong time. And so much of her statement seems to be, well, what's the right time? The right time is when you have the right financial stability. The right time is when you've achieved what you've wanted. And it ends up being a kind of bourgeois, you know, non at all sort of communal or sense of the common good that this child who comes along at quote unquote the wrong time is still actually essential to our social flourishing. And to me, it crossed a line that was just one step too far.
Two objections I'd like you to respond to that would likely come from your now former fellow Democrats. The first one would be, look, what's your alternative, Dr. O'Malley?
Yeah, my alternative, I'm on the road today, I'm listening to NPR, and I spent the morning listening to how third parties are, in essence, a kind of wasted vote. And so to me, there are serious alternatives. The first, of course, is to vote for something like the American Solidarity Party, which has risen to existence as of late and actually continues to grow with articles in First Things and otherwise, to vote for a candidate there. The second, and I think this is a real option for me over the last several days, is to work pretty carefully within the structures of the Democratic Party to build a pro-life coalition, to not see myself as a part of the party as I once did, but nonetheless to work very seriously to build this sort of coalition. For me, the option is not to vote for Trump, and I'll just make that clear. It's not an option for me as an American citizen who's well-formed in sort of Catholic identity and who takes very seriously the claims of mass deportation of immigrants. that's not an option for me either. So if I have to vote for a vote of conscience this go around, I will, and I'm okay with that. And that's just what I have to do.
The other objection, of course, is, look, you're just kind of whittling down your political views to one issue, to abortion. You're ignoring how broad a real life platform should be. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the claim that abortion is a single issue is just, you don't understand actually how it's a single issue that taps into all the issues. If we're so willing to dispose of life with abortion, then it means we're also so willing to dispose of the life of the poor. We're so willing to dispose of the life of those who are immigrants in our country, who perhaps are here not for any choice of their own, but out of sort of fear of safety. To me, to be pro-life is a holistic thing, but abortion is a kind of litmus test for me relative to, do you get the full narrative? Do you get the full philosophy? And so I don't think it's single-issue voting. And I do think that sometimes it's worth taking a stand on something like this, even if it puts you outside of kind of mainstream life.
So in other words, it sounds like you're saying, whatever being pro-life may be in addition to defending the unborn, it necessarily must defend the unborn.
It must absolutely defend the unborn. It is the issue in which other issues, to me, actually sort of grow and make sense. And if we actually find a way to care for both the life of the mother and the life of the child, then we begin a process of caring for those who are most vulnerable in our society. And that actually, that kind of politics, I think, can actually heal the rest of our political fragmentation from the bottom up.
Finally, then, when you talk about having left the Democratic Party at that pivotal moment of hearing the delegates there in Philadelphia cheering an abortion, does that mean you've lost hope for the party you once held dear?
I haven't lost hope. And in some ways, over the last several days, having written the article and heard from a variety of people, in some sense, there's a hope reclaimed. I think that there's this group of young millennials who refuse to pay attention to this kind of ideology that the Democratic Party presented in a very public way during its convention. And I'm not saying every millennial, and I'm not saying every young person is pro-life, but increasingly they are. And I think that in the coming years, there's a real chance for a renewed politics, a renewed democratic politics even, that actually cares for this whole life of the human being from birth to death. And so in some ways, I found a number of people were really suspicious of what happened at the Democratic Party, and it's for that reason that I was actually sort of hopeful. I heard a variety of other things, including that I was grandiose and good riddance, it's nice to be rid of you from the beginning. But I heard from a variety of religious people and non-religious people that there was a real sense of that this was a turning point for them as well, and that we have to build a new political will, and that there are Democrats interested in doing that.
So what's your sense of that, just with about 30 seconds here? Sounds like you're saying, I realize I'm not alone.
I am not alone. I think that there's a lot of people who grew up as Democrats, who grew up as a robust sense of whole life care for those who are most suffering, and that they, too, are just as offended, just as annoyed at what's happening within both the Republican and Democratic Party, and there's a will for a new way.
Dr. Timothy O'Malley is director of the Notre Dame Center for Liturgy, author of a recent column, The Week I Left the Democratic Party. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. O'Malley, thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
Thanks so much for having me.
When we come back from this break, we're going to start a new series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's a regular guest, but this series is going to be based upon a book he has recently published, Has American Christianity Failed? It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. We'll be talking about not only American Christianity in general, its characteristics, but we'll also talk about the fact that American Christianity, pop American Christianity, often claims a high view of Scripture, but does it actually hold a high view of Scripture? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us for a 5-part weekly series on pop American Christianity right after this.
Even even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.